It's good to be here this morning and worship with you. And some of you I haven't seen for quite a while, and it's good to see you again. My message this morning is going to be sort of a sermon of songs, so to speak. I'm going to incorporate some songs with scripture. And as you know, many of you know, I enjoy singing. I enjoy music. I listen to a lot of music. When I went through my cancer journey, that was a something that sort of carried me through. And I actually sort of had a ministry of it. If someone's going through a tough time and they agree to it, I will send them a link to a song sometimes every day if they desire that. And I've done that for several people now and just enjoy doing that. A song that the Lord has laid on my heart, and I think would meet their need for that day. And so today I'd like to just challenge you. I think we do to a degree, but I want to challenge you again that when we sing a song, we sometimes I think it's just something we do. You know, it's a part of the service, and it's just what we do. But those songs have deep meaning in them. And the people that wrote those songs from the bottom of their heart. And we can get a lot out of those songs that I think sometimes we miss. And so just a reminder to you. We're going to start out with Acts 2:38, Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. My first song is Amazing Grace. Now, this song was written many years ago, and it's a special song. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. And I was definitely a wretch, and all of us came to that place at some point. And there's a rendition that our men's group sang last year that adds some words to that song. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. And someone wrote an addition to that. My chains fell off. I've been set free. Is that how you feel today? From when you sing that song, when you think about those words, that amazing grace and how sweet the sound. Are you set free? Do you feel the freedom that comes with that song? I got to the place when we sang that song, when I got to those words, I could hardly sing them for tears. To think, my chains fell off and I've been set free. God's mercy and His love for us has been something that has just... I didn't finish that. I should finish that. The rest of that song, the rest of that extra written part. My God, my Savior, has ransomed me, and like a flood, His mercy rains. Unending love, amazing grace. God's amazing grace. So now we are free. And why? Because of His amazing grace. He giveth more grace. It's another song that is very something that means a lot to me. He giveth more grace. His love has no limits. His grace has no measure. His power has no boundaries known unto men. For out of His intimate riches in Jesus, He giveth and giveth and giveth again. His love has no limits. His grace has no measure. Our God. And from that, we know that He is always there for us. He is always there for us. We are never alone. Our God is with us. We are never alone. Another beautiful song that's just very meaningful to me. The journey, my cancer journey, I knew that God was there. I knew that He was with me. We are never alone, for God is with us now, for God will make us strong, we will press on. John 14:18 says, I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. Matthew 28:20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the ends of the world. Amen. Whether you're in financial stress, whether you're in great temptation, maybe you're dealing with a stress in your marriage, or maybe you're making a weighty decision, or you're dealing with a relationship issue, whatever it may be, you are never alone. You're never alone. God is with you. David explains this very well in the Psalms, Psalm 139, 7 through 10. Where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into the heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. My God is a rock in a weary land, a shelter in the time of storm. Again, when you are in a condition where you don't even care, your awareness of people around you is hardly there, and you're not feeling well at all, God is that rock. He is that shelter. Deuteronomy 32:4, He is the rock. His work is perfect, for all His ways are judgment. God, a God of truth and without iniquity, just and right He is. Psalms 18:31, For who is God save the Lord? Who is the rock, our God, save our God? Psalm 62:2, He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. Exodus 33:2, And it shall come to pass when my glory passeth by, that I will put you in the cleft of the rock, and I will cover you with my hand while I pass by. That passage always grabs me. I think of God placing Moses in the cleft of the rock. And His hand is big enough to cover Moses. That same hand is big enough to have every one of our names engraved in it. It speaks of that I don't have the reference here at the moment, but I'll have that later. But to think of God's hand, all the believers in the world, your name is engraved in His hand. It's quite a big hand. But just thinking about his hand covering Moses, protecting him. The temptations are strong. You may even yield to them and afterwards feel worthless. You may be struggling with addiction, or you may be struggling with discouragement. Remember, God is your rock. He is there for you. Remember that God wants you to be His. He wants you to repent. He wants you to confess and believe. And He's waiting for you to say, "Forgive me for whatever it is that I did." Or He's waiting for you to say, "I need you, Jesus. I need you, Lord." And then He's waiting for you to say, "Take thou my hand and lead me." Take thou my hand and lead me unto the end. In life and death I need thee, O blessed friend. I cannot live without thee for one brief day. Lord, be thou ever near me and lead the way. My friends, it's worth it. It's worth it to take this step. It's hard sometimes to think that in this condition you're in that God can actually lead you through it, because the fog, the whatever is there, whole just blinds you from that fact. But God is waiting for that moment for you to say, "Take thou my hand and lead me." David of old knows how you feel. He knows this well, and he talks about it in various psalms. Psalm 31:3, "For thou art my rock and my fortress, therefore thy name's sake lead me and guide me." Psalm 43:3, "O send out thy light and thy truth, let them lead me. Let them bring me unto thy holy hill and thy tabernacle." And Psalm 139:1-6. "You have searched me. You know my sitting down, my rising up. You understand my thoughts afar off. You can comprehend my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, Lord, O Lord, you know it altogether. You have hedged me within, you have hedged me behind and before, and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it." David is speaking to God about how he feels and how he needs God to lead him in the way. When we realize the amazing grace that He has given us, when we realize we're never alone, God is always with us, when we remember we have a rock to stand on, to hide behind when needing shelter, when we remember the hand that covers us in the cleft of the rock, when we remember that we have a hand that is reaching out to lead us, we can only say, "My Jesus, I love thee. My Jesus, I love thee. I know thou art mine. For thee all the follies of sin I resign. My gracious Redeemer, my Savior art thou. If ever I love thee, my Jesus, 'tis now." Young people, that was written by a young man at the age of 16. And you can tell it came from the depth of his heart. "My Jesus, I love thee." So why do we love Jesus? Why do we love Him? 1 John 4:19, "We love Him because He first loved us." Jeremiah 31:3, the Lord appeared of old to me, saying, yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you. We in our disgusting, filthy, deplorable state, and he loves us. He is drawing us to himself with his love. Isaiah 49:16, behold, I have graven, or, and here's the verse I was referring to later, behold, I have graven or carved thee upon the palms of my hand, thy walls are continually before me. Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were yet sinners, while we were in that deplorable, disgusting state, Jesus died for us. So what happens when we realize his love? Shine, Jesus, shine. Fill this land with the Father's glory. Blaze, Spirit, blaze. Set our hearts on fire. Flow, river, flow. Flood the nations with grace and mercy. Send forth your word. Lord, let there be light. When we realize the love of Jesus in our hearts, the light of his love shines out, shines forth, comes forth from us. Psalm 139:11, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. To Jesus, the light and the darkness are the same. There's always light. Speaking of Jesus, Luke 2:32, a light to lighten the Gentiles, the glory of thy people Israel. That was Jesus. He was a light to lighten the Gentiles. He was the flame that was used to light other wicks. You know, sometimes we stand around holding candles in a group for whatever reason, and you take one and light the next person's and the next person's and the next person's, and maybe this person's goes out, so you light theirs with it. That is Jesus in our lives. He is the wick, the lit wick that's lighting our candles. He's lighting us. John 8:12. When then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Jesus is the light of life. He is the light that we need. Sin is associated with darkness. His light is pure and real. So then we see the light, and what is our response? How do we respond to that? This is the way we should respond. We lift our voices, we lift our hands, we lift our lives up to you. We are an offering. Lord, use our voices. Lord, use our hands. Lord, use our lives. They are yours. We are an offering. All that we have, all that we are, all that we hope to be, we give to you. We give to you. This morning, that is one of my testimonies. The fact that God has given me life, facing death twice in my cancer journey, he decided to give me life. I have friends that are in the grave that were going about the same time I was going through the journey, and God has given me life for some reason. So this is my testimony. I want to, all that I have, all that I am, all that I hope to be, I want to give to him. Romans 12:1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. This is the way we give an offering. This is the way we give it back to God. We are His anyway. Everything we have is His anyway. But we tend to think of it as ours. And we're just giving it back. Ask yourself some questions. God, what do you have for me? What are your plans for me? What do you have for my future? Where do you plan for me to go? Some of you young people that are here, the older ones are sort of past that state somewhat. But maybe it's the mission field here in your hometown. Maybe it's a mission field in a distant city. Or maybe it's a mission field in a distant country. Maybe it's a mission field of God you finding a companion and having a family to raise. That may be the fact too. Whatever it may be, offer yourself to Him as an offering. How does that look to do that? Just as I am, without one plea. But as thy blood was shed for me, and as thou bids me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. That was written by Charlotte Elliott in 1836. That song has been around for many years, and we sing it, and I think sometimes we don't grasp the meaning of what that song is saying. And I challenge you with that. There was another a chorus written by Travis Corell, and I don't know when that was. It's not real long ago. I know it's fairly new, but that chorus is another chorus that grabs me very. I just think it fits the song very well. It's just a good addition to the song. I come broken to be mended. I come wounded to be healed. I come desperate to be rescued. I come empty to be filled. I come guilty to be pardoned by the blood of Christ the Lamb. And I'm welcomed with open arms. Praise God, just as I am. You know, we were talking in Sunday school about how we view people. Just as I am. We don't have to change to come to Jesus. We have to make a change when we get there, but we don't have to change to come there. Come just as you are. And you will be able to be used as an offering for Him. If you come in this way, you will live true angelical faith. This is written by Menno Simons, I believe. True angelical faith cannot lie sleeping, for it clothes the naked, it comforts the sorrowful, it gives the hungry food, it shelters the destitute, it cares for the blind and the lame, the widow and the orphan child, that's true angelical faith. It binds up the wounded man. It offers a gentle hand. We must become everything to all men. Abundantly we have received, and gratefully we have responded. We respond with true angelical faith. So overcome evil with good. Return someone's hatred with love. We must become everything to all men. That phrase, we must become everything to all men, I don't think it means we give everything till we're depleted and there's nothing left. But through Jesus' Spirit filling us and living within us, it just flows through us, and we can become everything to all men through that. Lastly, there's a reward for all of this. There's a reward for all of the struggle, everything that we're going through in life. What heavenly music? What heavenly music steals over the sea and transing the senses like sweet melody? 'Tis the voice of the angels borne soft on the air. For me they are singing, their welcome I hear. On the banks of old Jordan, here gazing I stand, and earnestly longing I stretch forth my hand. Send a convoy of angels, dear Jesus, I pray. Let me join the sweet music, come take me away. Though dark are the waters and rough is the wave, if Jesus permit, the wild surge I'll brave. For the heavenly music has ravished me so, I must join that chorus, I'll go, let me go. It is worth it. I can't wait. I'm looking forward to it. The state of our world today is such that I can't express it. It's just our government's in upheaval, wars around and things. I truly believe we are facing the end times. I'm not saying we're there, but we're seeing some results of what Jesus prophesied, and I believe that we are rapidly coming upon that time. I don't want you to face this without knowing that you are prepared for it. That you're prepared for the words of these songs and what they mean. That you are going to be ready when Jesus comes and you can face him face to face and look in his face and just in longing and desire to see his face. The last song I have is I Want to Bless You With It. God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me. He will be my guide, hold me close to his side. With love and strength for each new day, he will make a way, he will make a way. By a roadway in the wilderness, he will lead me, and rivers in the desert will I see. Heaven and earth will fade, but his love will still remain, and he will do something new today. God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He works in ways we cannot see. He will make a way for me, and he will be my guide and hold me close to his side. With love and strength for each new day, he will make a way, he will make a way. God loves you. He cares deeply about you. And that song, He Will Make a Way, is true for each one of us. He will make that way in whatever you're going through. And he will care for you. Go out and live the true and joyful faith. Live the words that song says. And God will bless you. Let's pray. Father, we come to you. We thank you for this time together and sharing. And we pray that you would bless each one here this morning, bless this church, bless this congregation as they live from day to day, that they, as they reach out, that you would give them strength and courage to keep pressing onward. We want to love you, we want to serve you and be faithful to you and to live for you until you come for us. And we want to thank you for all that you do for us. In Jesus' name, amen.